And there's nothing wrong with spending money. There's nothing wrong with having luxuries. There's nothing wrong with having the nice things.
Yes.
But it's a matter of when can you actually afford it.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, a former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Is it just me, or is it getting really hard to figure out the best way to save for retirement? Fidelity can help you find clarity so you can save the best way for you. With a free personalized plan, goal tracking, and timely insights, you'll be set to take on retirement your way. Get started at fidelity.com/future. Expenses charged by your investments and other costs and fees associated with trading or transacting in your account apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services member NYSE SIPC.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
What would you say if you saw someone now, say they're 20 or maybe they're 30 or whatever age, doesn't matter, yeah, but they don't have a lot of money right now. Let's say they're just making a normal amount of money, right? Yeah. But they have certain habits and behaviors,
yeah,
and beliefs and thought processes that you witness. And you could say, wow, if you follow these things, you have the ability to make a lot of money one day. What would be those behaviors or habits that would determine,
sure,
if someone has the ability to be rich?
So the first thing is mindset. Mm-hmm. That's what I call, you know, my channel, me, the minority mindset. You have to believe it's possible for you. Because if you don't believe it's possible for you, you can have all the resources, you can have all the drive, but you'll never be able to because your mind, mm-hmm, is going to stop you. Your mind dictates your actions. And so you first have to believe that somebody like you can do it from your position and know that, hey, I will do whatever it takes. Now, if you have the mindset, then you have that I will do whatever it takes, the discipline, and then the willing to learn, nothing can stop you. So the discipline means that you're willing to put in work. You know, a lot of people say, don't work hard, work smart. And I think this is a whole bunch of crap. You know, like you can work as smart as you want, but if you're not willing to work hard, you're going to very much limit your success and limit everything in your life. You have to be willing to work hard.
I don't know anyone that didn't put in a lot of hard work for a period of time,
yeah,
until they learned how to manage and delegate and optimize,
exactly,
with resources and skill and time to work smarter.
100%.
But they had to work hard at some point
in order to get there. Once you get, yes, there, now you can scale back,
yeah,
and now,
yeah,
you can,
yeah,
you know, reap the fruits of your labor, but you have to be willing to,
yeah,
put in the work, the harder you work.
You got to make the flywheel turn.
You got,
you
to.
Know?
And,
yeah,
if it, you know, it, your hard work makes your smart work even more effective.
Mm, key.
And then your discipline then is, it's just like anything else. It's being willing to stick with it when things go wrong and when things get hard. Because things will go wrong, things will get hard. I made a video on my YouTube channel talking about my worst real estate deal ever. I have this running joke with my friends that anytime I start something new, I get scammed and I get screwed over. And it is extremely difficult every time it happens because from the event planning business, I got screwed, mm-hmm, over multiple times. And then the beginning, it was just a complete flop. I mean, it just things, everything went wrong that could potentially go. I was supposed to host my party at a venue, planned it for months. The night before the event, it got shut down by the cops because they were apparently serving to underage people. It just lost.
Oh, man.
And this is my first event.
Oh.
And everything just goes wrong. Then, you know, I started my sock company. I got scammed by a fake marketing company as soon as I started, which is why I started Minority Mindset. When I started, I started for a little bit, I was trying to hustle and I was selling stuff on eBay and Amazon.
Me and my buddy, we found this supplier in mm-hmm. China who was sending us authentic items that we were going to sell online. We were young, and we were selling it. We were making decent money. And then we get a letter saying, you're not selling authentic stuff. We will potentially sue you for $7 million.
Oh, man, that's
I'm not
scary.
Even 20 years old. Oh. You know, like, I don't even, like, $7 million, I can't even count that many digits.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, and I had to shut that down. So it gets tough.
Yes.
You know, you talked about last time, getting punched in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to get back up. And, you know, how do you prepare for that? Maybe go and get punched. Go to a boxing class. Get uncomfortable. Do something that puts you out of your comfort zone, even if it's not directly correlated. I try to do that. You know, I've joined a boxing gym here in California.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the best boxer, just to get in shape. But, you know, you get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I joined my acting class. That was really uncomfortable for me because I'm like this kind of like nerd. You know, I went to school. I was like supposed to study hard in school and do all this stuff. And now here I am trying to figure things out. I didn't fit in, but I made friends. Everybody's so friendly, and you get to meet more people, and you put yourself out of that comfort zone, and I think that will help you in other places as well. So it's not always, you know, finance. We talk about this where we live a human life, right? It's not just my bank account. I'm a human first.
Mm-hmm.
My bank account is one aspect of my life,
right?
And you have to be able to live as a human. That way you can actually enjoy your bank account.
Absolutely, man.
Right? I mean, you can have $1 million, $10 million if you're miserable. Who cares?
Exactly. So you talked about the right mindset, the right discipline. The third thing was...
The right mindset, the right discipline, and the right work ethic. So the willingness to learn. You have to be willing
to learn.
And if you're not willing to learn, you're not going to be willing to grow. Because you have to be willing to challenge your beliefs. And I think that became significantly easier for me. Once I started learning about money, because I realized everything I was told was wrong about money, from, you know, loans to banks, to schools, to your job, to investing. When I realized that everything that I was told was wrong, that's when I started, well, I was like, man, I don't think I know anything right. So it was very easy for me to start learning and listening to contradictory points of view. But you really have to be willing to listen to things that don't agree with one another. And that's in the middle is where you find intellect.
Yeah,
that's where you find where your best education comes. And so, like, you know, if you listen to like I listen to audiobooks. I'm not a very good reader. English is my second language, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not the best reader, but I listen to audiobooks. And it's funny because I have like books that will completely contradict one another just so I can learn from different points of view. Like I read Donald Trump's book. And then I read Barack Obama's book.
Mm-hmm.
I read the Communist Manifesto. I read the Capitalist Manifesto.
Right.
You read books that are completely opposite. That way you can explore different points of view and understand and solidify your thoughts and just be more educated. Because
otherwise, if we grow up with just one belief the entire time and we don't see another side of something or another extreme potentially...
Yeah.
Then we're always going to think life is that specific way, as opposed to being open to seeing what other people think about, whether we agree with it or not, just learn.
And it's so much more important now because of social media.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know you know this, but you go on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, anything. If you start watching one type of content, what are they going to do? They're going to feed you more and more of that exact same thing. And then all of a sudden you go down this rabbit hole where you think everybody thinks like you. Anybody who doesn't think like you is wrong. They must be dumb. They have no idea what they're talking about. But you have to. I mean, it's so much harder now, which is why it's so much more important. But you have to be willing to break out of this hole and start learning something else and, you know, be willing to challenge your own beliefs. And that's where, you know, you will become smarter and you'll find more opportunity and you'll solidify your own beliefs on whatever it is that you believe in.
Absolutely. Those are good habits. What would you say the three biggest myths about money that you've debunked over your time of learning about money that maybe you grew up thinking it was one way, like you were talking about loans and banks and all these different things? What are three myths about money that you've found out were not true?
Well, the first thing that I would say, I don't know if it's a myth, but I would say that the first thing everyone has to understand is what money is. And I don't mean in terms of like, in terms of wealth, but like money is just paper. It doesn't make you a good person. It doesn't make you a bad person. It just, it's paper. And we talk about all these insecurities people have with money. I grew up being told, don't talk about money, don't worry about money, don't stress about money. Yet here I am seeing my parents work their butt off every single day. So
Trying to make money.
And it doesn't make sense. How am I supposed to not worry about money? And you want me to become a doctor because, you know, you read those, if you go to those career fairs, they show you the different careers, right? And doctor is always number one, the highest income. So why am I doing this if it's because of the income instead of because I love it or do something that I love? Why not?
Or because I want to help people.
Yeah.
You want to save lives.
Exactly. Yeah. And what's crazy is if you understand money, you become financially educated, you're willing to talk about it. Well, now you can be financially stable doing whatever you want. And you can follow something you love and still be financially okay because we assume that you have to have this in order to make money. You have to have this job in order to make good money. You have to have this career if you want to be financially stable. But that's a complete lie.
Yeah.
But that goes down to not us being willing to talk about money. And you know, I talked about this in our last interview. But you know, money is one part of our lives. And the reason why people are scared to talk about it is because we're insecure about it. And that's because we don't understand how money plays a part in our lives. It's one aspect. I say that there's four. You have to be physically healthy, mentally healthy, spiritually healthy, and then financially healthy. Mm-hmm. If you're not financially healthy, well, it can make everything else much more miserable because you can't pay your bills. But if you're financially healthy, you're rich, but you have nothing else, more money just makes you more miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to live a holistic life and understand how money plays a part in your life. That way, the finances can have the biggest power. And then you understand that more money just amplifies who you are. It's like fire. It's like fuel. It fuels your fire. If you're a good person and you have more money, you have a tool to do more good. If you're a bad person and you have more money, you have a tool to do more bad.
Yeah.
Just why we need more good people with money.
Exactly.
How do we do that?
Well, yeah,
get educated.
A lot of people just say that money exposes who you really are.
Exactly.
It amplifies who you are.
Right.
So people can see you know, whether you're that good person or a bad person or whatever it may be in between. But first off, understanding what money is,
yeah,
is what you had to learn. It's
yeah,
kind of like this thing. What else around understanding it, would you say?
So
the maybe next you thought it was one thing, but then you realized it was something
exactly
else.
Exactly. So now that's money. The second thing is, how do you use money and value money? Because I'm going to say this in the nicest way possible, but traditionally, Indian people can be very cheap.
Okay?
And you know, I grew up seeing this. And what does that mean? It means that the traditional Indian house is a save-heavy culture. And I can say that because I've seen this, and I grew up in that, where You make a dollar to spend 20 cents. Mm-hmm. And the traditional American culture is you make a dollar to spend $2, right? And so it's a save heavy culture. So you're spending as little money as possible to save it. Now, obviously we talked about inflation, so I'm not gonna mention what that means with savings. But what I'm talking about here is you can use your money as a tool. And this is what wealthy people do, because now what do they do with their money? You use your money to buy your time back. Because what so many of us do is we're exchanging our hours for dollars. You go to work every single day and you get paid. But what are wealthy people doing? They're not working just to use their money as a way to buy hours. They're using the money to buy their time back.
Yes.
Because now you can build things and build processes and invest your money, because now you can use your money as a tool instead of as a fool.
Yeah.
That's what I like to say. But this is where it's how do you now use your money to make your life better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you don't want to be now just buying a whole bunch of Gucci and Louis Vuitton. It's now actually improving your life. And
not to make your life look better,
yeah,
but to actually improve it from the inside out.
Yeah. So the simplest example would be, you start a YouTube channel. We talked about buying a camera. Well, one thing that you could do is you can hire a video editor. You know, you go on a freelance site, hire a freelance video editor, and now what are you doing? You can spend more time making more videos,
mm-hmm,
instead of spending all your time editing the content. So you can focus on,
yes,
your time. You can hire someone to mow the lawn. You bought your time back. You can hire somebody to help get you your groceries. You buy your time back. It costs money. You have to spend money in order to do that. But you're getting something in an exchange. And now you're buying your time back, so you can use your money as a tool. And you can use your money as a tool to buy your time back, or you can use your money as a tool to make you and attract you more money. That's what wealthy people do. And so you want to be able to use money in that way. The third thing would be now to really, I mean, I know I talk about this a lot, but you have to understand the difference between something that makes you money and something that loses you money.
That's a liability, yeah.
A liability. And
what are the main liabilities that people spend on today?
The way you look, man. We have this Instagram flex culture,
yes,
right? And it is very toxic if you do not know how to use it.
And unless you're investing your money wisely and you've got excess money and you're like, okay, I want to buy some stuff to flex, cool. But
there's
nothing
wrong
investing your money.
Yeah.
And you're just spending it on clothes and watches and shoes.
Yeah.
If you look good,
if you got the name brand stuff, but you got no savings, you got no investments, you're doing something wrong. Your priorities are in the wrong place. What are you doing? You're making Gucci rich, you're making Louis Vuitton rich, you're making all these companies rich, but you're keeping yourself broke. When I talked about my watch, I spent $1,000 on a watch. I had no investments. I didn't even know what an investment was at the time. I didn't realize I could have taken that $1,000 and invested it into a watch company and get a share of the profits. But that's what wealthy people are doing, and they understand that. And there's nothing wrong with spending money. There's nothing wrong with having luxuries. There's nothing wrong with having the nice things.
Yes.
But it's a matter of when can you actually afford it. You have to know when the right time is for you to have it, because you want to first make yourself rich and then, hey, blow. If you can afford it, do whatever you want.
Grant Cardone is always talking about how he doesn't spend money on the cash he makes to buy watches or things. He only spends money on the watches and clothes and things on the passive income.
That's great.
From his investments.
You take the earned income, you're working every single day. You take this income and you use as much of that as possible to invest into assets. The assets pay you. Live off of the assets, because now those assets don't need you to go to work every single day to get paid. So if you break your leg and you can't get paid, you're not getting that earned income, but that active, the passive income from your assets still coming in. And now if that's the money you're living off of, you are free. Mm-hmm. Your earned income is just buying you more assets. And so how do you start that, right? And so this is where you have to kind of build some sort of system for yourself. And the rule that I would always say is follow something like my rule of five. If you can't buy five of them, you can't afford one of them.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you want to buy a $1,000 phone, you want to buy $1,000 watch. Okay, fine. Can you buy five of them? And if you don't have the ability to buy five of them, if you can't afford to do that, then you can't afford one. If you can't buy five, you can't afford one. And then you want to create a system, like a system that automates your finances, where now you have something going on with your money that is putting your money to work no matter what. And so one of the easiest things you can create your own is to follow something like a 75-15-10 plan, which means that for every dollar you earn from now on, 75 cents is the maximum you can spend, 15 cents is the minimum you're investing, and 10 cents is the minimum that you're saving. Now, the savings is, you want to build somewhere between 3 and 12 months worth of savings if you want to have that protection. 3 months if you don't have a lot of liability, a lot of responsibilities, you don't have all that going on, and you have a high risk tolerance. 12 months if you want to play it safe. You figure out what's right for you. After you filled your savings, you fill up the savings. You don't want to put any more money into it because now you're just being eaten away by inflation.
Yes.
Right? The savings is not there to make you wealthy. It's there just to protect you against an emergency. Then what you do is you take the money, you put it into your investments. And now you just keep investing money. Now what happens is as you grow your income, you don't change this ratio. So if you go from $40,000 a year to $400,000 a year, you keep the same ratio and you're still investing first, and then you keep saving your money, and then you know how much you can spend. Because now what you're doing, which is what wealthy people do, is you invest before you spend. The way that the finances look for the majority of people is you make money, you pay taxes, you spend your money, and then you wonder where your money went. Well, wealthy people do, right? Wealthy people are, you make money.
Especially in California.
Yeah, $7 gas and high taxes. But what wealthy people are doing is you make money, and then depending on how you make it, either you pay taxes first or after, ideally after, because there are ways to do that legally. But you make money, and then you want to invest as much as possible, and then you spend whatever's left. So wealthy people invest and spend what's left, while the majority of people spend and invest whatever's left.
Here's one that I think a lot of people do, and I think it hurts them in a big way. How does someone not make their net worth attached to their self-worth?
That's a good one. You know,
meaning, how do they believe in themselves, have confidence, have, you know, love for themselves when they're not making that much? Maybe they're in a transition. Maybe they lost their job. Maybe they're just starting out.
Sure.
And so, how do they also, when they start making some cash, not tie their bank account number to their self-worth?
So when you fail at something, you don't become a failure as a person. You fail at a task. And in order to become successful at something, you have to fail at a lot of tasks. And so the first thing is, you have to understand that about yourself, is that just because something didn't work, just because you failed at something, does not mean that you are a failure. Maybe you failed at a task. I failed at a ton of things. I'm sure you have too. You have to screw up a lot. And that's how you find the good. So now when it comes to net worth, if you want to be completely honest, your net worth is pretty useless. It's a worthless number. It means nothing. It means less than nothing. Because what is net worth? It's a paper number. If I have $1 million net worth in the stock market today, tomorrow it could be worth $400,000. It doesn't, if you were valuing your life And even worse, if you are spending based off of your net worth, you're living a very dangerous life. And some people do this because they say, oh, I'm worth $1 million. So I'm going to go out and live a $1 million lifestyle. You don't have $1 million. You're just worth $1 million. You don't have income coming in. You're just worth this amount of money. And so you go and borrow a ton of money and you start living this $1 million lifestyle. And then things go down. And now you're the first one to lose your shirt. So The thing that I want you to remember is first regarding the failure. You're not a failure. Just because you failed at a task does not mean you're a failure. It's actually a good thing you failed because that means you're one step closer to finding that success. And then second, regarding the actual net worth number, look, this is just temporary. Everything is temporary and you have the opportunity to build something a lot bigger. You have to have the right mindset. And if you are here in America, you're in a first world country, you have the opportunity to do that. But you have to be willing to learn and be willing to give it time. So you have to be patient, but also impatient at the same time. Patient in the sense that you have to understand that get rich quick is majority of the time a big scam. It doesn't work. It makes the people selling the get rich quick rich
and you
keep
broke.
You broke. So the first thing you have to understand is that. But then second is you want to be impatient where you got to, it's going to fuel that drive, fuel that work ethic, fuel that discipline. And you have to be willing to keep going. You know, if you would have told me 15 years ago or 10 years ago, hey man, you're going to be interviewing with Lewis on this show, I would never thought that's possible. Like, you know, I grew up being told somebody like me can't do this. Somebody like, you know, I remember talking to my own family members, like, you can never be a CEO of a company. Somebody like you can't do that. You have no business background. You couldn't even get into business school. And it's funny, and nowadays I'm like, well, there's a lot more value to being the owner of a company than a CEO of a company because the CEO is working for the owner. But anything is possible. And, you know, even if you just ignore the financial side, you can do anything you want. But you want to be a singer, you want to be an actor, you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be a CEO, you want to be whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. It is possible, but you have to believe it and you have to be willing to put in that work. You know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That is the truest saying that you can make because I have, I worked in the event planning space. I still know a lot of people in this space. I know a lot of people that manage singers, big time singers, especially in the Indian space. And some of these people are incredibly talented.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
With no drive, no work ethic. And where are they going with their careers? They had this spike and then going down. And all these other people that are average singers, but they're putting out songs day after day after day. I mean, if you heard them sing, it's like, it's whatever. But
you can produce it well. You can make the hooks. You can write cool lyrics.
You keep improving. And they keep putting out content. And they keep improving every week. And it's like, dang. You got millions and millions and millions of views.
It's funny, man. I got a friend of mine I've had on the show, Andy Grammer, who was literally in Santa Monica busking for 4 years, 5 days a week, 4 years, playing songs for just tips on the streets.
They hustle, right?
But he wrote over 1,000 songs or something crazy like this in this 4 year period. He would sing the covers to try to get like people to come around and be like, I like that song. Exactly. Let me give you a dollar. Yeah. And then he would throw in one of his own original songs to try to get people like, oh, he got his own stuff. But he did this for 4 years before he actually got something that was on the radio and then touring and all these other things. 4 years on the streets, working really hard. Now he's got momentum, but he's got all these skills now developing over those years to write his own songs.
And I don't think people realize what 4 years means. Because you hear 4 years, college is 4 years, high school is 4 years. But you got to remember, during those 4 years, that's a long time. You go from February, March, April, May, you do it again.
Every day.
And again, and again, and again. Steve Harvey, I love his story.
Man,
because
great.
He went through the same thing. He was homeless. Because he was like, I'm a janitor right now. I want to be a comedian. My friend, who I grew up with, is now on TV. We both had the same dreams. I didn't want to say it. He got laughed at for his dreams. And now he's the one on TV living my dream. And I'm working as a janitor. Quit his job. Moved into his car. And spent 3 years just trying to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at him. And he's on shows after shows after shows.
He's crushing it.
It's that discipline, being willing to put in the work and just sticking with it is so hard. And that can help you with any, forget the financial side. Doing something you love, living a purposeful life. Because what's important to you is not what's necessarily important to me. And what's important to someone listening to this is going to be different than me. And we all have a different passion, a different purpose, and a different mission.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone's going to care about climate change. Someone's going to care about world hunger. Someone's going to care about cancer in kids. Someone's going to care about breast cancer. Someone's going to care about financial education. And so we all come at this world with different experiences, different pains. And each one of those pains are going to drive our motivations. But you have to be willing to work towards it. Because if you don't, who else is going to?
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to do that if you want to make that impact.
What would you say on a scale of 1 to 10, how much you love yourself today? 10 being you have ultimate love for yourself, and not in an egotistical way.
Yeah.
1 being you hate yourself. Where would you be on the 1 to 10 scale?
I don't want to be like mean, I'm like overly narcissistic, but I love myself. And I never asked myself that question because I don't think, I was very fortunate that I never really had to struggle with happiness.
Really?
No. And
even when your parents were kind of talking the way they did?
That was tough. It was tough, but it never really made me unhappy because I think why is I had a group of guys that I was friends with, a few DJ friends, and we were all kind of like, almost like rebels, but we knew we weren't doing bad things. We're like, we want to become successful, just no one sees our vision. So we all just kind of like, we were friends. I had a really good community.
Okay.
And I think that really helped me because, sometimes I would go sleep in their basement. I was like, man, this is like, my mom told me this, or my dad's not believing me. And they were like, and they were in the same boat as me. Like, they're like, dude, I don't know what I'm going to do either. And look, all of us now are doing very well. And we joke around about that, where it's like, man, I got a lot of trouble with my parents. I'm sleeping in your basement. Now you're coming to my basement. And so it was tough, but I had a lot of fun along the way, man.
Yeah.
Because
money, you never attached money to happiness.
Never. I think actually, I think more money actually maybe have reduced potential happiness.
Really?
Yeah. And I think the reason why is because some things had happened in my life that I did not expect. And I thought, because we were all like, we want to become successful, but we loved the journey. We were having a great time. But I think what happened was I had some like really tough realizations, and I've never talked about this publicly, but I'll do it now. So when I was, Minority Mindset was growing, and I was like, I'm going to really build this now. And we were getting close to 100,000 subscribers, and we were going viral, and it's like, wow, we made it.
Yeah.
We were about to hit it.
100,000 is hard to do. That first 100,000, man,
difficult.
Is really hard.
And, I was right about to hit it. And I come home and we're having dinner and my dad, I knew something was wrong. And he looks at me and he says, your mom has cancer. And all of a sudden it's like, forget the YouTube channel. Forget the investment. Like, forget it all. Like, I was like, are you serious? I was like, did you get a second opinion? And, it was very tough. And so the next week, My mom's in the hospital in the operating room. And it was the day after I had 100,000 subscribers, the day after her operation. And it was like, it was nice to see, but it was like, I like that I'm making an impact, but honestly, it doesn't even matter. Like, the like, I would give this up in a second to make sure my mom's okay. And just, I think that that initial realization was like, wow, like there's so much more to life than just money. And you know, you kind of, I think that's when I started developing, that's when I developed the quadruped triangle, the physical, the mental, the spiritual, the financial, because I was like, I started writing my thoughts down. I was like, you know, this is, you start to really place a value on different things.
Absolutely.
And you start to realize, okay, I was spending a lot of time in my work, and I still work a lot, but you start to realize that, you know, I need to spend some time with my family. I need to do certain things. I need to make sure that I take care of myself, and I need to make sure I take care of my family. And those were, you know, my mom was okay. She beat it. It was great. Good. It was amazing. Like that was like the biggest relief, but you learn from your struggles. You learn from pain. And that, I think that realization probably was like, you have to, money does not make you happier, but what it can do is it can make your bills a lot easier to pay. It can make vacations, like it can make your life more, you can do more of the things that you love.
There are more choices, more options.
Exactly.
But you still have to work on happiness.
You have to work on, it's a completely different game.
There's so many people that I've interviewed in the last few months that have had kind of this rise to success over the previous, let's say, 3 to 5 years. And so many of them said, when I asked them on the scale of 1 to 10 of their happiness and self-love, that they were higher just right before they started to hit like this growth period, like right before they kind of became famous or made a ton of money, they were higher right before than they were now. Not to say they weren't still happy and loved themselves, but many of them said it was the pressure to continue to grow. This exposure, all these people know about me and I'm getting judged and critiqued for my message or my content or my actions, and this kind of fear, what if I lose it? What if it goes down? So it sounds like you kind of had that.
So I think I have a little bit of a benefit there, and I'll tell you why, because I do notice that pressure where, you know, people, they recognize me, which is amazing, and I hear some of these stories and I'm like, I don't want to screw this up. But I think part of the reason why I'm a little bit detached from that same pressure is because I don't need my income from YouTube. So I don't have to portray a certain image or act like a certain person. I can be me. I can be silly. Like, you watch my YouTube channel, I say the word below, very funny. It's just the way I talk. I talk about guacamole because I love guac. You know, I go to Chipotle, I get my extra guac. So I am able to inject my own personality. And if you don't like it, I really don't care. You know, you can leave. I'll still be okay financially. Mm-hmm. And which is why I think also I can talk about things like, I'm not here on my YouTube channel. And I think that's also contributed to my growth, kind of. It's funny how it works, where like, I don't have to sit here and make certain types of content. I think I did go down that route for a little bit, where I was like, oh.
Trying to hit the trends.
Yeah, and I went down that route, and it was like, you start to do things you don't want to do because you're like, oh, this is what the algorithm wants. This is what is going to make people happy. And you start doing it for the wrong reasons. This is what's going to make my sponsors happy.
Right.
And I did that for a while. And I was like, you know what? This is not me. Mm-hmm. And I stopped. And I was probably like 500,000 subscribers at the time. So I was, you know, pretty, you know, I was making good income. And I was like, you know, screw this. It's not me. And so I stopped that. I put out the content that's more genuine to me. I'm going to talk about the things that I want, things that are important to me, things that I like talking, the way I like talking about it. I'm going to be silly. If I want to dance in a video, I'll dance. You know, and I love my fans. I love our followers. I love our subscribers. Like, they're the greatest subscribers ever. I just had a small meet and greet here in San Diego. I talked about it weeks before the event, and I stopped talking about it. I just kind of put it out there because I've never done anything like that before. Mm-hmm. It was a huge success. I mean, really? I could not believe it.
How many people showed up?
Over 100.
Wow.
And I mean, we had shut down Little Italy. I don't even know how many came.
Like
if it was more. There was so many people, and people flew down to see me.
Wow.
People drove 8 hours, and I was like, "Are you serious? Like, wow. Like you guys? I mean, it was amazing." And it was like, "I'm not. I don't need to sit here and act. I don't need to sit here and be someone I'm not." Look, I'm gonna talk the way I am. I'm gonna wear the clothes that I wear. I'm gonna be like me. I'm gonna act like me. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. You know, I do this for me. I don't do this for you. And I think people have appreciated that because they realize that I'm coming from a genuine perspective. Where it's like, look, I'm looking, I'm obviously it's nice. You know, I get an income from it, which is great. But my livelihood is not dependent on it.
No.
If my YouTube shut down, I'm not going to be homeless. I'm going to be okay. So for me, it's a way for me to get my message across. It's a way for me to talk about my business, market briefs, talk about the things that I'm working on. And it's a way for me to really just connect and talk about the things that I wish I knew. So I think that has helped me in that happiness side where I could be me. But I think I've also started to identify, like, you know, happiness is something that, like, it's almost like not something you look for. It's just you're happy with it. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example with it because I think a lot of people thought it was really weird when this happened. So this is like before I used a credit card. I used to really be this big cash person. Oh, credit cards are bad. Now I only use a credit card. But before I was like, credit cards are bad. So I used to keep this like fat wallet.
Now you only use a credit card.
I only use a credit card. But back then I used to have this like fat wallet and used to have a bunch of cash in there. And I had the cash stolen out of my wallet a couple times, right? It was a few hundred dollars. And, you know, I was younger at the time. So a few hundred dollars was a lot more significant.
Yeah.
And I remember my friends were like, dude, like, aren't you angry? I was like, man, look, the person who stole it probably needed it more than I do. It is what it is. Wow. Yeah, it sucks. But like, what am I going to do? Just gonna cry about it? Beat myself up? I think I remember my mindset changing on this when I was maybe in middle school. My uncle sent me this email. I've been trying to find this email, but I can't find it anymore. And they gave the story about why you shouldn't cry over spilled milk. And the premise was, it was this kid who was making cereal, spilled the milk, and I was so angry. He was so angry about it. He got late for school or work. He gets in his car, now he's late. He starts speeding, and now he gets into an accident. Now he gets even more angry. He gets into an accident, somebody else gets injured. Now he's even more upset. Now he's late for work. And now he gets into work after the person's injured. He has to deal with that. And then he gets into work, and then he gets fired because he's late.
Mm.
All because of the spilled milk. And it's like, if you didn't cry over the spilled milk, say it's just a little bit of milk, you pick it up, you go to work, you're on with the day, and nothing else goes wrong. And it's like, wow, mm-hmm. It's a big shift.
Yeah.
But along the way, I've realized that, you know, I've been talking a lot more about mental health a little bit on our channel because I have become much more aware to it. I'll be honest, I was very ignorant to mental health for a big portion of my life. Very dumb about it. Where, you know, I was like, I kind of grew up with this, like, yo, depression's fake. Mm-hmm. It's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, everybody has a turning point, right? You start to see pain. And then I started to see it in people around me, people very close to me. And you start to see the impacts of that. And then you start to realize, whoa, like, maybe you can't break out of it. Because now I start learning about it. I start reading articles about it. I start mm-hmm. listening to podcasts about it. I started listening to YouTube videos about it. I was like, oh, my God, like, I don't understand this. And then, you know, I had lost some very close friends to it.
To depression. Wow.
They took their own life. And that's when, you know, it's like, this is serious.
It becomes real.
And I'm like kicking myself, like, dude, you're so dumb. How could you think that? And you start to, you know, you realize that there is a big importance in that, which is why, you know, again, going back to the quadrifit, the mental is so important. If you are anxious, if you're depressed, and you know, and it starts at an early age. It starts, you know, from your childhood. And obviously, I'm not a brain expert. You know, you've interviewed the top minds mm-hmm. in this, but you know, it starts at an early age, and which is why for anybody, it's important to learn about it because if you're going to have kids, learn about this. You know, you want to know physical, mental, spiritual, financial, so you can teach this at a young age. Teach this to people because we're never taught these things.
And absolutely.
If you just have to go and figure it out, guess what? You don't want to be on the losing side of any of these. So, you know, on that side, be willing to invest in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that means talking to a therapist, whether that means checking yourself into a rehab, even if it's expensive, go in and check yourself in, find whatever help, whether it's alternative help, traditional help, go and find help. Get the help. That way you can take care of yourself. Because if you can't get out of it now, it's going to become more difficult. And if you think that more money is going to solve that problem, you are going to be even more miserable because then you're going to realize that you were wrong.
Mm.
And then you're going to feel more hopeless because you're like, I did this to solve this problem, but it paid my bills, but it didn't make me happy.
Yeah.
And now you're going to feel so much worse.
Right.
And I've seen it because, look, in my culture, a lot of people in this first generation, we've seen gone through a lot of similar struggles where parents are working hard. And so you don't get to spend a lot of time with your parents. You see a lot of trauma in the household. And it starts to come out when people start to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I start to see all these issues on the mental health side of things. And it's still a taboo topic in my culture.
Yeah.
Mental health is not something people openly talk about, what we need to. And it's one of those things where, dude, people are taking their lives. And we're still scared to talk about it. And this is why, you know, I say, look, learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to invest in yourself. If people don't support you, just be willing to spend and do whatever it takes.
And what I do know is that money might help in some ways ease some pains, but it doesn't ease every pain. There was someone, I was in a building 2 years ago, living in a building here in LA. Someone was worth $500 million that took their life. And so it might solve money problems,
yeah,
but it may not solve depression, anxiety, stress,
right,
mental
different
health problems, self-love problems.
Exactly. They're different layers,
yeah,
right? They're made of different ingredients,
yes,
right? Go back to the cake example. I love food, okay?
Yeah.
So it's different layers made up of different ingredients. When this is not too long ago, I was in Sacramento. I did another interview over there. And I got there a little bit. I landed, and I got there a little bit early. So I went to Chipotle.
That double guac.
Exactly. Yeah. Double guac. And I'm driving into Chipotle, and there was a lady there with a sign that said, please help, I need food for my kids. And her two small kids, probably like 5 to 7 year old, were sitting there. So I parked my car, and I was like, well, I have some extra time. Let me go see if I can buy them lunch. So I go up to her. She didn't speak much English. And I said, can I buy you lunch? She didn't understand, so I tried to like explain it with like hand signals. And she was like, oh, I would love that. And I was like, well, I got time. I was like, what about, it was in the same plaza as a grocery store. I said, can I buy you groceries? And after I got that across, she understood that. She was like, oh my God, like, yes, like, please. And I said, okay, let's go inside. I'll get you whatever you want from the grocery store. Buy whatever you want. Her two kids get up. She explains it to them in their native language. And they start jumping in joy. And I was like, you know, I was like, when was the last time you got excited to go to the grocery store, right? It's just like, it's just normal. And so they go inside. And they're shopping, and I could just see the happiness. They're like, oh, we're buying vegetables, we're buying eggs, we're buying some milk, we're buying some meat. And the kids, like, at some point, were literally like, oh, can I buy this chocolate bar? And they start jumping, like, up and down, jumping with joy. And they get to the cashier, and I don't get emotional often. And I remember seeing that, and the kids were coming up to me, and I was getting emotional sitting there looking at this. I had to turn around. I just started blinking. I was like, it's just so sad where it's like, you know, that in that instance, money would make a big difference. And I know, and I can talk about my culture because I've seen it. And I know a lot of people, you know, people even in my own family that seen extreme struggles. And in that moment,
mm-hmm,
money will solve a lot of problems.
Yes.
It will make your stress go down. It will feed the family. It will feed the kids. It will pay your bills. It will pay off the debts. And that stress, the financial stress, will leave. But then you have to also look at the physical, the mental, mm-hmm, and the spiritual. And, you know, this is where, you know, I am not a mental health expert. I'm not a physical health expert. I'm not a spiritual health expert. But I understand that it's important in my life because, I've seen the importance of it. But I think I understand money. I don't like calling myself an expert. I hate when people call me a guru or an expert. Even when I go on the news, please don't call me an expert because I'm learning every single day. But I'm learning every day about it. And I think that education is where I can help. And it's this is where that lack of financial education is just so deep rooted. And I said this last time, I'm going to say it again. It's because it is so profitable to keep you poor.
Mm.
It's profitable to keep you financially uneducated. And it sucks, but it's the reality. So what do we do now? Get financially educated. Because at the end of the day,
mm-hmm,
money speaks.
Yeah.
Money talks. You can hate it, you can love it, but it's the reality. You know what? People listen to what I have to say now. Why? Because I got money.
Right,
you know,
right.
It is what it is.
Yes.
You know, it's a gravity.
And there's some credibility to it too, you know,
sure,
it builds credibility, authority,
absolutely,
trust, all, yes, these different things.
And I hope that, you know, through my genuineness, I've been able to build that.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, I talk about the system like gravity.
Yes.
It is what it is. You can fight it or you can understand it.
Mm.
Learn the rules to the game.
And leverage it.
Learn the rules to money. Leverage it. Use it to your advantage. Because either you're going to use it to your advantage or you're going to get used to somebody,
ooh,
else's advantage.
Snap. This has been powerful, man. I'm so excited about this conversation. And if you guys are enjoying this at home or on YouTube, and you would, here's something we haven't talked about. We haven't talked about, and I haven't seen you talk about this on your YouTube channel, about money, dating, relationships, and marriage.
Sure.
In this whole conversation.
Yeah.
And if you guys want Jaspreet to talk about this at length, leave a comment below. Type in hashtag love below. Let's see on YouTube how many people want a conversation around how to manage the mindset of money and relationships, money and dating, money and marriage, and how that dynamic works together. What conversations should you have with your partner before you get married? When you're married, when you start to make more money, what should you be investing in?
Yeah.
Is it one person's decision? Is it both's? So if you guys want that, because you've been married for, I think, a year now?
About almost a year.
So it'd be interesting to see your journey.
Yeah.
And what's worked, maybe what hasn't worked, what you've seen from other people you've studied. So if you guys want to learn more about money and relationships and marriage and all tied in together, leave a hashtag love in the comments below. And we'll come back.
Or
and
the comments below.
Yes. Below. You've got an amazing channel. People can follow you and your YouTube channel, Minority Mindset on YouTube. Make sure to check Jaspreet out there. MarketingBriefs.com, which is your powerful newsletter for investors. Market Briefs. Go to MarketBriefs.com. Minority Mindset everywhere. YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, all the places. How else can we support you? TheMinorityMindset.com. What else can we do to support you?
Yeah, man. Minority Mindset everywhere. You know, if you like the content, share it. Check out Market Briefs, marketbriefs.com. It's a free financial newsletter where we break down what's happening in the top finance and business news every single day into a fun and witty email, mm-hmm. less than 5 minutes long every morning. I promise you'll love it. And if you don't, you can unsubscribe. It's free.
Yes.
But I promise you will love it. I've had so many people tell me that this is the only email that they look forward to reading every single day. So you will love it, especially if you want an easy way to stay up to date on what's happening. Check out Market Briefs. And, you know, if you like the content, help spread it, help educate somebody else. You know, one candle can light one room, but one candle can also light a million other candles. And those can light a million other rooms. So spread the education, help spread the knowledge, help spread the word.
My man, and I asked you last time your three truths and your definition of greatness. So if people want to hear what you said before, go back and watch the previous video on this or listen to the previous episode where Jaspreet shares his three truths and his definition of greatness. And hopefully we'll have you come back on and talk about money and relationships. I want to acknowledge you, Jaspreet, for your constant commitment to this message, the way you show up for yourself, the way you show up for your family and for your community. It's really inspiring that you're teaching this from your cultural perspective. You know, we need more people like you sharing this wisdom, studying these things, and then teaching it to us in a way that we can understand it and use it for good in our lives. So I really acknowledge you, my man. Excited to have you back on. Again, leave a comment below, hashtag love, if you want to learn more about love and money. I think it'd be an interesting topic. But my man, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you.
Lewis. Thank you for having me. It was a great time, as always.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and it inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a full rundown of today's show with all the important links. And also make sure to share this with a friend and subscribe over on Apple Podcasts as well. I really love hearing feedback from you guys, so share a review over on Apple and let me know what part of this episode resonated with you the most. And if no one's told you lately, I want to remind you that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.